Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me every Tuesday and Friday to talk all about Bravo TV. On Tuesdays, I report on all the latest news stories happening in the off-screen lives of our favorite Bravo celebrities. And Friday bonus episodes range from One Season Wonder recaps, Bravo celebrity product reviews, book club discussions, very random deep dives, and so much more. Sit back, grab your drink, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's episode is blessed with the presence of Ali Levine. She's a celebrity stylist and motherhood, fashion, lifestyle expert, and personality. Ali is also the host of the Everything with Ali Levine podcast, which delivers a raw look at her own motherhood journey amid the treasures she's uncovered in the universal search for authenticity, spiritual wholeness, and happiness. I was very fortunate to be a guest on her show this week, and she's here today to break down all her thoughts on pretty much the intersection between reality TV, motherhood, and her experience on Bravo's Stripped. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Megan. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. I have to say, I've never read an intro so flawlessly, and I think it's because you wrote it so well that it just kind of flowed so nicely. I was like, wow, I'm quite impressed by my guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I'll give the, I can't take the credit that goes to my team, you know, who handles my PR stuff. So I'll have to let them know kudos on how they wrote it.
So in the bio, you said you've been doing a lot of celebrity styling for people in LA for a decade now, but you specifically mentioned Gretchen Rossi. And since she is in the Bravo world, I had to ask you about how your experience with her was. Did you get to try any Gretchen Christine Beauté products? I've got to know.
Oh, totally. So I actually love Gretchen. She's become a friend because she is, of course, now a mom too. And We, of course, met more in the styling space when I was dressing her for photo shoots and some of her magazine covers and things of that nature. But we really bonded when she actually had Skylar and became a mom. But yes, I've used some of her beauty products. I actually joked the other night to her that she totally influenced me because I don't usually buy that much off Instagram, but she posted these like cooling blue balls that are like, they go like on your face like that. You know, like the massage like one? I know, right? You know, like the massage like one that like they look like they have.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? They have them in the spas, like back when we would usually go to the spa and they would have the big bulbs, but they're like a home kit. And I was shut up. I was like, I think I would absolutely love that. So I splurged and ordered them. And I was like, Gretchen, you actually influenced me. And she was cracking up because she actually like really does use them and was telling me how much she used them. But yeah, I've used some of her products. I used to carry one of her purses back in the day when I used to go to red carpet events. So I have been definitely influenced by the Gretchen Christine beauty line franchise and all that. And I have to say, she was honestly really great with me. We worked together. She was like, you know, open to me trying different things on her. We were doing fun different looks for different covers. And she was totally open to just trying all different styles, even if they weren't her, you know, jam and her look. And so we had fun. She asked for, I worked with her and became even friends with her. I didn't know what to expect, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She kind of came on the show and I really liked her. She had the arc of being with the older man and he was passing away. And so it kind of looked a little bit like, you know, the Anna Nicole Smith situation. But once you kind of started getting to know her, you're like, wait, no, she really loves this man. And he happened to be sick. And this all kind of happened to happen to her. And then I think she was the third housewife to date Slade. And of course, there was like skepticism between viewers like, what's up with this chick? But then they've been together for so long. And they have this beautiful child together. And so it's like, you got to give her some props. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
he's for the show.
Guy Slade too. Like I've experienced him, and he actually has helped a lot. Like when I've styled Gretchen, like he's really hands on. He's so good about her brand, and he just wants to be so supportive and help her. So I was actually really impressed with Slade.
Do you think they would ever come back on the show if they were asked?
You know, I think they feel like, unfortunately, what you were describing of like how they, of course, we all know how Bravo rolls, how they show a lot of people. I think they felt like, you know, maybe if it was before, I would guess Sky, but now like they're in such a happy place with their daughter. I would think that it would only be if it was like on, you know, their rules and like their situation, you know what I mean? Which I mean, we know Bravo's never going to do. So
yeah. And that's understandable. And literally like the basis of our entire conversation today, it's like, like what is off limits? Are kids off limits? Before we kind of jump into that, we have to talk about the show Stripped that you were on in 2017 on Bravo. I rewatched the episode today. I was like, this might be my first guest who I've seen totally naked. Of course, blurred out. Of course, blurred out. This is not Europe.
Or I'm sorry. Which one? You're welcome. I'm sorry. I mean, bold.
Are you kidding me? You have a hot body. I was like, dang, what a girl. I like need arm toning like that. So that's my inspo for working out tomorrow.
I love it.
So how did you get on that show? How did you find the confidence and your husband find the confidence to go onto a show where you strip everything out of your home, including all of your clothing and cell phone, and live a very bare life for 21 days. It's like Naked and Afraid, but just inside.
Yeah, Naked and Afraid, but in your home, basically, right? okay, well, first off, thanks on the hot body comment. I definitely was like not feeling that confident, to be real honest and transparent with your listeners. So first, with as far as how did I get on the show? So most know I've been styling Bravo and E and like the NBC family for quite some time when it comes to The Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, Rich Kids, you know, a bunch of different shows. So I very much knew them and knew a lot of the teams and they knew me. So originally, actually, going back to like, you get this because you're a producer, production had like been casting for a fashion show. And I was all about it. And it's this really cool like contest and like stylist. And anyways, didn't get green lighted, of course. But I was originally like casted for it. And it was like, this is going to be awesome. This is what we're going to do. And then didn't happen. So then, you know, fast forward to, they kind of still have like my name in the mix or whatever. And one of the producers was a friend of mine, Desiree, was like, hey, we're casting for this show. And I think you'd be great for it. And I was like, cool. Tell me the concept. And she's like, well, they basically are taking this off of like a Scandinavian overseas show that was out. And I forget what it was called, but it was something along the lines, like close to Stripped. And she was like, and basically like they take everything away from you for almost a month. And it's to show you like how you rebuild your life and your habits and this and that. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I think you'd be great for it. And I was like, what are you on crack? I'd be great for it. And she's like, yeah, I think it would be great. Like, you know, you're a celebrity stylist. You're so busy. Like this would completely take you out of your comfort zone. It'd be so different. And I was like, whoa, what one of those things makes me want to jump on board right now?
Yeah. Nothing about that sounds ideal, but.
Right. I'm like, you know, and she's like, just think about it. Just think about it. Like, and it would be good for your brand. Like you think about the grand scheme of things and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so, Des. And she's like, just think about it. Just think about it. And by the way, Megan, they hadn't even told, like, I hadn't even told this was like the naked concept. It was literally just, oh, everything's going to be taken away. And that is enough for me to be like, huh, no.
yeah. Let alone like, also your clothing. We meant every single thing.
Right. I mean, literally everything. And so I was like, oh, okay. Talk to my husband. I tell him about it. And I'm like, so there's this show. They want me to do it. And he looks at me and he's like, oh, that might be kind of cool for you. And I was like, excuse me? And I'm like sitting here just where I'm like, everybody around me is like, oh, this would be cool. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Do people think this would be good for me? Like,
right? Like, do you think everything in my life needs to change? Because clearly I need to.
Apparently, the universe, the universe as well. And so like, okay. You know, my husband's like, yeah, you should think about it. So I call my publicist, which is like big mistake. Because obviously my manager and publicist is like, were they going to say no?
Yes,
to
an yes.
So it was like a huge yes. And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, just kind of feeling this out. And they're like, no. Like, let's get on a phone call. Let's get a meeting. Let's do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, fast forward, have a meeting, meet casting, the whole thing. And, you know, they meet Justin and they like fall in love with him. And they're like, oh my God, we love that. He's literally like the anti-Bravo man, like he doesn't give a shit about anything. And you're like, this could be so much fun. Like, would he do it? And I was like, I don't know, Justin, would you do it? And he was like, yeah, I don't give a shit, I'll do it. And he's like, what do I care about? Like, I care about super simple things, Allie. I'm not like you, like, whatever. I think might have actually been verbatim. And so so then, like, we actually, like, you know, signed the dotted line, say we're going to do this. And again, this was contracts before we knew we were going to be like full blown naked. And
oh, so, my God,
that's the
worst thing to find out after you're contractually obligated.
Well, I mean, isn't that like typical Bravo? Like,
Oh, yeah. How can we hoodwink you into signing the paperwork and then like probably make you do the thing you're most uncomfortable with in the world? People will love it. So people will love you.
Exactly. So, you know, so fast forward and everything's signed and we're like getting ready to do the show. And then they reach out and they're like, all right, so we're just like making some changes in production and still casting and figuring things out. One of the things that we talked about was, besides everything taken away from you guys, we want to just, you know, explore this idea of like, maybe we put like fresh looking clothes on you so it looks like you're naked, or we just do bra and underwear. And it was like all these different ideas circulating around. And then supposedly, which wouldn't surprise me at all, Andy Cohen was the one that was like, oh no, let's just have everybody be naked.
Again, easy for you to say, Andy. You like work out with like a gorgeous Ukrainian trainer every day. Yeah, like your body's perfection.
Have your lifestyle. Exactly. Like where we have a trainer and we can just like get ourselves together 24/7. You know, must be nice. They end up telling us it's going to be naked. And I just remember my face being like, wait, what? And my husband was, wait, we're going to be naked. And I told my publicist, I was like, okay, get me out of this. Like, I can't do this. Like, this is crazy. And then she was like, it's fine. It's literally just for the beginning of the show to show that you're vulnerable. And then like, you'll get your clothes back. You're allowed to ask for it back. Like, we already talked production. Like, that could be the first thing you get. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And so I remember making a phone call to my parents. They were so thrilled. I don't think they've even gotten over it. I have a feeling it's like one of the many things that like drives them crazy about their daughter. And Justin to tell his parents, yeah, it was a fun phone call to let people know. So then obviously we filmed for the show, and it was originally supposed to be like 9 weeks, like showing everyone's like, you know, in betweens of what was happening each episode and like what was going on and playing out. And then of course production changed again. And they decided, hey, you know, we're going to just do one episode each, which, to be honest, I kind of feel like was a blessing in disguise. I feel like I was really dramatic through the 9 weeks that would have been all those episodes. So I feel like it was actually really much better for me that I wasn't shown all those episodes. So thank you, universe. First off, when you were saying about the vulnerability, like I had no idea what it was going to feel like to have my clothes taken away. Like I had an idea I would feel comfortable. I had no idea it was going to feel that uncomfortable, like really panicked and melted down. And I like threw a fit and I was crying and screaming at the producers the first night. And it was really intense. We had to sleep on our hardwood floor naked.
No, I saw that. Oh,
it was so uncomfortable. And my animals kept circling us, like looking at us, like, what is happening? Like,
what did you guys do to us?
Exactly. Why is there nothing? And like, why are we like circling around you, like something is wrong? And we were just like, we had our toilet paper that we used as pillows, because it was literally like, okay, well, this is gonna be like jail style, like we're gonna sleep on these. And then we had water and then disgusting rations, which honestly I didn't even try to eat until like day three, because I spit them out, because I was just like, oh, these are disgusting. Whereas my husband's like such a rough, like, you know, whatever, rough and tough guy, that he was just like, whatever, it just tastes like eggs. And I'm like, no, it doesn't, it tastes disgusting. Like,
yeah, wow. At one point I think he was like, you know, I thought the food was gonna be bad, but like it was actually really, really good. Like, oh my, as he's like sucking food out of like a bag, I'm like, what is that?
Did he really say that? Because it doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
I mean, he's so chill. It takes a lot to like grow him. And so yeah, I did not do well with that at all. And then, you know, the next day, obviously the first day, I asked back for clothes. I couldn't feel, like I literally couldn't handle seeing myself naked, feeling myself naked, feeling so vulnerable. I think it was like almost like, to me, like I was just feeling so seen in like the most dramatic way possible, if that makes sense. Like it was just like,
of course.
So that was really intense. And then, you know, I get my clothes and I get a dress. Justin stays naked and was like, hey, I'm gonna like do the right thing here and get us like something to sleep on, thanks so much.
And you're like, I'm gonna get a bodycon dress.
Exactly. Straight up, girl. I was like, how do I make myself feel good again?
I know. So I love terrible. How like your day six, you had like your cute heels on. I was like, I appreciate that he's getting toothpaste.
I know. It was so terrible. He kept looking at me like, really? This is the priority? Really?
Sure is.
It was for me. I needed it. You know, it was like, I just like needed to feel like me again. I'm like, come on. I always wore heels, of course, up until now. Now I live in fuzzy slippers, but like really heels. It was so intense. And honestly, I think the whole experience was really eye-opening, especially for me, because like in all seriousness, having everything taken away from you, being so stripped down, you know, no pun intended, it was like, whoa, like makes you really look at everything in a different light. And you're really forced to like, look at all your shadows, look at all your shit that like nobody wants to, and I was forced to. And it made me realize like how much I was hiding behind all my materials in my life, how much I was so focused on my career to the point that I wasn't even involved in my own marriage. I wasn't present to my own life. I hadn't really been calling friends and family. I'd been very disconnected. Like I was just very much in it, and I was killing it in my career, but everything else was a shit show around me. And I don't think I was like actually acknowledging that until like Bravo forced me to, because of course, one of their favorite things to do is break you down on a show.
It's like their number one thing.
They literally, I mean, not only break you down, but like, obviously since I'm out of contracts, I can say this now, but like, they literally like come over and like check to make sure like you're somewhat sane and like do a psych test before you start to make sure like God did something, like they don't get
I'm wondering, like, have they done that for half of the housewives? I feel like if they did like a check like that to some people, they'd be like, you know what? We probably shouldn't put this person on television.
You know, I don't know. I just know for our contracts that like that was a real thing. Like they checked and made sure, and it was like a whole evaluation. It was like, oh, good to know. Okay. And so, yeah, but I mean, they break you down. Right. And so I would have these like confessions with the producers, and they would be like, you know, again, so grateful half this shit didn't air. But like one of the confessions that they had me do like in my whole testimonial was like, how come you don't want to have, you know, a baby, and how come like you're not ready to have a family yet? And I was just like, honestly, I really want to stay focused on my career. Like my career is my baby. Like I will have a baby down the road. I don't want to be pressured. I want to stay in this. Like this is my focus. And it was very, you know, when I think back, it was very selfish, which I was very selfish at that point time in my life. Like I was, but I think like speaking that out loud and actually like hearing yourself say those words and then them say them back to you and then ask you, like almost turn your words on you and ask you like, so why are you so selfish? So why are you so focused? So, yeah, right.
It's like therapy, like, but on television.
Yeah, exactly. And like the worst kind of therapy. Yep. It was so intense. But I think that going through that experience is really why I did actually come out kind of a changed woman, and I had a really different perspective on life. And I find it like not coincident at all that we got pregnant like right after filming, because they had put everything in my face so much that it was like I worked through it and was able to be like, okay, I do want a family, and like I don't need to be as scared as I think I am, and like I can do this. At the beginning it was really hard, it was really dark to do the show with them, but then at the end for me I felt like I was in a new place and I was learning and I was, you know, evolving from it, which I didn't expect from a show, to be honest. Like most people that watch it are like, okay, like it was funny, it was kind of crazy, like it looks like it was intense, but like whatever. They don't really understand that like the real concept of the show, which I have to give up to like Evolution and Bravo and Endemol and all of them for creating it, was the fact that like everyone has habits, and it's 21 days to break a habit or to create and start a new habit. And so it was like really testing to show us like what we could break and, you know, what we could create. And I think for me, like I recreated so much of my life after that show, and now has only poured into my world of what I do now in motherhood. So I believe the universe gave it to me for a reason, because it was like kind of to wake me the F up and be like, okay, stop being such a selfish bitch. And so, you know, I don't know if I would have honestly gotten pregnant so fast afterwards. I don't know if I would have been in the space to even like consider being a mom for quite some time. I really feel like, as crazy as it is, I feel like Stripped kind of handed that to me.
Wow. I mean, I love hearing like a happy ending from going onto reality television. I feel like it's generally like they leave reality television and potentially are scorned in a way, but it's amazing that you were able to kind of get to the point with your husband where you're like, actually, no, like this is what I want. This is a priority. You're a priority. And when they were doing like the last credits and they were like, so like, what's changed in 6 months? Your husband's like, we got a new bathroom. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Who cares? And then they like pan to you and you're like, I'm pregnant. I was like, oh my God, I knew it. Not just because I know you have two kids, but I was like, I know because my producer brain tells me there is a baby being made. I have a feeling. So it was fun to watch that. But so you love Bravo, you love reality television. Would you ever have your family now on television? You have two children and obviously your husband still. So would you ever consider bringing your family life onto television?
It's funny. I've been asked before if I would do something like that. And I'll never say never because, you know, I think that you always leave the door open and see what happens. But I think that it would have to be the right situation and, you know, the right move for my family and everything. But I wouldn't say no, but I wouldn't say, hey, I come and jump on like a housewife show tomorrow. You know, I don't know. I feel like it would have to be something that like made sense to me, but I'm always open for opportunities. I always leave the doors open. So I've learned, you never say no, especially after Stripped. But at the same time, like if someone came to me and was like, hey, want to come back and do another part of Stripped? I'd be like, no.
Yeah. I have kids now. Things are different. Hard no. And I mean, I don't know. Now, you know, you did have a positive experience. So it's like, you would think, okay, maybe going into another show would also be a positive experience. Where I think, you know, you kind of also know the game a little bit more. So you'd be able to, I mean, we shouldn't say self-produce, but somewhat self-produce in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, every show obviously is different, but I think you're right. There's definitely a game. I mean, it's definitely very much being aware of, you know, to a point what they're going to do, what they're going to say, how you're going to react. And I mean, I think the biggest part of all of it, obviously, as we all know that watch reality TV, it's really the reactions of what they get to be able to build out the show. So, you know, you'd have to really be in like play with really understanding your reactions, which I feel like I'm a little bit better about now. Being a mom of, you know, two and having craziness all the time. Like I've made my house decently zen, not all the time, but a lot of the time. So I feel like I maybe could play the game better, but then who knows, because like Bravo is like king of figuring out drama no matter what. I mean, literally when we started Tripped, they straight up like were trying to get us to fight the entire time. And straight up, they were like trying to get Justin and I to fight the entire time. And they were actually getting super annoyed that we wouldn't fight. And that's when they went after the baby subject, because they realized that we weren't going to fight. Because Justin and I, pre-Stripped, had made a pact together that we were not going to fight. Not that we like fight in general that much anyways, but we have arguments. We have our moments. Every couple does. And so we made it like a pact that like, unless it was like a serious conversation that needed to happen, we weren't going to like put ourselves in that position to like bash the other one, you know, on camera. So we made a pact before we started the show. We're like, we're not going to do that, because we've seen so much of it, obviously, from, you know, being friends around it and me being in it for work. So we knew that. So then when it came to filming and they kept trying to get us to fight and they kept going after us and just trying to like, hey, you know, Justin wants this. Hey, Ali, you know, we both just like, okay, like played it off, you know? And I think they were like super annoyed. So then they were like, okay, well, then we're going to hit you where it hurts, you know? And so then it was like, you know, basically like on the baby train, like literally anyone that watches it, and literally it's all they talked about. What do you have birth control? How come you don't want to have babies? What do you mean you want to get pregnant? Like, it was like, oh my gosh, can we talk about something else? I mean, that's all they talked about. So, you know, I mean, touche, I have two children now. So
you got what you wanted, Bravo. You're pregnant right. Twice. Well, I think it was interesting, as you were saying before, I like that you were saying like they're really looking for reactions. Like it doesn't necessarily mean like Bravo is not necessarily looking for people to come with a crazy story, but they're looking at how you're going to react to somebody saying anything to you or behaving in a certain way. And I think this past week, the new season of Jersey Housewives came out and there was a huge fight between Jackie and Teresa. Therese is basically saying Jackie's husband is cheating on her. And then Jackie made some analogy up about Gia, who's her daughter, who's 18, or actually probably like 20 years old. And she was like, well, what if I said that your daughter was doing cocaine at a party and it's not true? Like, how would that make you feel? And it's been hard because there's now a debate between viewers. Like, Jackie was provoked by Therese and was just saying an analogy, but was Jackie bringing Gia into it just so out of, you know, out of control and like out of bounds for what this show is about? And I think like for any mother, you'd freak the hell out if one of your quote unquote friends was now making these like quote unquote accusations about your daughter doing cocaine. Like, so I kind of see both sides of why they're both upset, but Like, where do we draw the line? And like, kids are off limits.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. Like, I mean, obviously now being a mom of two, I'm a hardcore mama bear and like, do not touch my children.
Yeah, I feel like my mom would flip a table like she was in New Jersey if someone was doing that to me.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like, okay, it's flip a table worthy. I mean, yeah, I think most parents, you know, they are protective of their kids no matter what age. So I feel like I definitely see her side of saying like, how could you say that, especially if it's not true? Because especially when it comes to like drugs and everything else, like that's some serious shit and something you have to actually worry about with your kids, you know, versus like, oh, they threw a party or something dumb. You know, that's where I feel like it gets intense, especially on the Housewives in like Jersey. Like, I feel like there's no boundaries. There's no lines. It's like, everyone's over the line. They can't see the line. Like, it's just like, they're just like, oh, whatever. I want to just throw this at you and may piss you off or make you flip out or whatever the reaction, you know, they want it to be. They just take it that far. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they know what the lines and boundaries are, to be honest. I've been around Teresa a couple times. She's quite funny. She is crazy. But I will say, like, I don't know how much is fabricated when it comes to her, because she's, she's really like who she is. Like, she is fire, that woman.
Yeah, I don't really get the feeling that she could really put on an act at all. And like, when she does put on an act, it's like because she's trying to like be nice, and like, yes, you could tell when, yes, she's being like that fake version of herself.
Like, yeah, just exactly. You're like, oh, it's not real. Like, it's really obvious you're trying really hard to be nice, but it's coming off really fake. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, well, that kind of even goes back to like, you know, Jacqueline Larita and her daughter Ashley. Like, that's another situation where, you know, Ashley like started to like assault Danielle Staub like on the show. So then it's like, well, Ashley then kind of ended up having her own arc on the show where, you know, her mother's going to the jailhouse, not the jailhouse, the courthouse, to like the Schoolhouse Rock, you know, going to court to like defend her daughter in this fight with Danielle. And, you know, then you kind of get like her whole, you know, storyline about her being a mess. And so at that point, it's like all of the women are then talking crap about Ashley, but she's like 16, 17. So it's like, is this okay? Is this not okay? But I think this situation was a little different because I think Jacqueline kind of agreed with what everybody else was saying about her kid. Like, I think like she was like, yeah, you're right. She did kind of go completely out of control at that posh fashion show.
she may have been a little out there. Yeah, I mean, I think like if they're agreeing, then like it's like, okay, well, not necessarily that it's okay, but it kind of at least like sets it up to be like, all right, well, I'm on the same page, even if I'm pissed at you or I really don't want to hear it, but like I know it's true, versus just like full-blown fabricating shit, which we know so many of these shows have done, where they just like make up stories. Like Housewives, you know, Beverly Hills, like they made up so many stories about Lisa Vanderpump that weren't true. Like, I think that shit's horrible. Like, I get the drama and whatever, but it's like, to me, I'm like, how do you just like make up these lies and then try to like have these like fake facts that don't actually work to like try to support it? It's like, dude, that's so messed up. Like, that's someone's actual story. And I know like it comes with the territory of obviously being with the show, but like, in my opinion, that's one of the many, many reasons why Lisa left.
Well, see, I go back and forth between how I feel about Lisa. Like, a part of me thinks, I've been rewatching Beverly Hills, and so I kind of have these fresh opinions on all of the ladies, which is fun and exciting and like one of my favorite reasons why I rewatch things. But Lisa's like always been shady. She's always been selling stories. You know, Adrian accused her of doing it. Taylor and Russell accused her of doing it. And then now, you know, Kyle ends up doing it. And Kyle and her had been so close for so many years. And I think because they had both started on the show together and were kind of, you know, allies in a way. I think when she started bringing up to Lisa, like, we know you sold this story, I think Lisa like was being like, very reactive because, you know, she knew it was true. And now Kyle, like the last woman standing on the crew who like, who has been there since day one, is now turning on her. So I kind of think Lisa could have been a shady, I mean, I think she is a shady woman in terms of that, but how do you feel about Lisa Vanderpump? Because she's a very polarizing person on this network.
Yeah, it's funny because I obviously have a more biased view because I've styled her several times.
Oh yeah, that's understandable then.
And I've seen her like literally I've been in her house, you know.
The new one or the older one?
Are you talking about the main residence? Her
Villa, what is it, like Villa Rosa?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, Villa Rosa. So I have seen the singing swans, and I've seen the ponies. The swans have sung to me, and it's honestly, it's beyond gorgeous. I'll never forget when I first pulled up there for my first photo shoot, and I literally like walked in and was just like, oh my goodness, like this is insanely gorgeous. Like it was just like, it was so insane. I called Justin and I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if I can walk in this front door right now because I'm just like having palpitations. Like it was like, I was freaking out. I don't usually like, I've gone to many people's homes and I don't usually get that worked up. But I don't know. There's something so fabulous about Villa Rosa and the way it's set up. And like, just when you like park and, you know, there's the swans right there and like the water. I mean, it's like seriously something out of a movie. I mean, it's crazy. So it was just, I don't know. It was very intimidating for me at first. But so anyways, I'm like at her home and, you know, she's on a phone call and I'm like listening to her, like as I'm getting her dressed and like, I'm like watching her, just how she interacts. And like, I don't know, I've just seen such a classy side of her. Like, I know that's not everybody's experience or opinion, but I've seen her just like when people have called to like tell her drama and she's just like, oh really? Like, okay, darling. Well, that's unfortunate. And like, it's very much like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like so classy and like very much kind of like, well, I'm hearing it and like, I'm taking it in, but I'm not necessarily like full blown reacting. I don't know. I feel like that's such a skill to be able to have and to be able to do, especially around so many of those women. And I don't know, like, you know, I've seen her in all raw emotions. Like, I've seen her get genuinely upset about Kyle. Like, I don't know. I don't trust Kyle. I've been around Kyle a couple of times. She always, like, just kind of does what everybody else wants her to do. She tries to pretend like she doesn't, but she always likes to play, like, kind of double-sided, like, double agent. Like, I'm going to be your best friend, but then I also want to be liked by the popular crew, so I'm going to kind of dance between the two, which, like, raising my hand, totally did that back in high school. Like, I get it, you know? But I don't know, when you're a grown-ass woman, you know, I don't know how much that flies.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen her definitely, I totally see that in Kyle. Like, I remember in season one, like, of course, she's, like, in the back of the limo, and she's like, Kim, you're a liar, and you're an alcoholic. And then the next season, you know, they're, like, trying to be friends. Like, they're both, like, trying to be on their best behavior because, you know, everybody on the cast knows that, like, this big bombshell was dropped, and Kyle dropped it. And then Brandy comes along, starts fighting, or Brandy starts, like, I guess, just being Brandy, honestly, and Kim starts having an issue with it. You know, Kim says to her, or Brandy says to her, well, you're doing crystal meth in the bathroom all night, and the two of them had been such bitches to Brandy the entire evening, and then they just erupt and go insane on Brandy. It's like, okay, so got it, Kyle's the only one who can be mean to Kim. Noted.
Exactly.
And so I hated that. And then for season and season after season, you know, Kyle is constantly, you know, picking on Kim for things that, you know, she's attempting to fix. Like, Kim is a grown woman. I understand you guys are sisters, but at a certain point you have to, like, let your sister fly, like, make her own mistakes. She's going to make her own mistakes. Yeah, exactly. Let her fall, which she does. But even that, like, as I was, like, thinking more about, like, you know, how kids are really involved in these Bravo shows, Kim Richards' kids especially, I can empathize for, because they had to watch their mom go through all of this stuff and going to rehab and, you know, relapsing again and struggling with her sobriety and struggling with her friend group. Like, see, I think, like, it's hard to go onto these shows and then think, like, how will my kids think about this? Like, I don't know, like, how, like, these are really painful things for our family to go through, and now they're memorialized on television and strangers are watching it, like, for the next 20 years.
Yeah, well, I think, like, when you were saying about, like, you know, what I go on, I think that's one of the biggest things is, like, you know, knowing that and knowing it, like, it lives there, and, like, you know, it's going to be seen, it's going to be shared, and it's really, obviously, you sign up for no privacy when you do any of these shows. It's one thing for yourself, right? But it's another for your children who have to, like, experience it and live it. And I mean, look, I just had Margaret Josephs on my podcast, you know, from New Jersey. And she was telling me, yeah, I love her. She's a hoot. And she was telling me that, like, you know, she's had to, like, kind of learn to, like, pull it back when it comes to her kids a little bit. And like when she was sharing certain things, she's like, oh, we took a road trip. Oh, and that's all I'm going to talk to you about. You know, it's like, because she understands that like, she doesn't want everyone to know every single thing, not because she doesn't care, because like for her, that's her life that she signed up for, but her kids didn't technically sign up for it. So I do think there's kind of like this slippery slope when it comes to your kids, unless you actually like turn to them and say like, hey, I guess like the Kardashians, right? Perfect example. Their mom was like, I'm a momager and I'm going to run your careers. And like, this is our life and what we're going to do. And they all hopped on board and like, look at them now. They all have these massive brands and everything they've done. It's incredible. But like, I don't know if every single person that has a child that's been on reality has the same perception.
Definitely. I mean, Margaret Josephs is a great example of someone who has a son, but has never really even talked about him on the show. And then I think like a couple of seasons ago, she had that whole, you know, storyline. It's horrible when you say like storyline when it's like just this person's life. I'm like that storyline where she was trying to rekindle her relationship with her stepchildren, or I guess her ex-stepchildren at this point. And it was weird because I think a lot of viewers were watching and were like, oh, she must have been this great stepmom. And of course, like her new relationship with Joe, you know, abruptly ended her relationship with her stepchildren, which is like devastating because she had been with them for so long. But viewers didn't know she actually had her own adult son who's just doing his own thing and who probably was like, you know what, mom, like keep me out of this. Have fun, build your brand, do your thing. But I don't want to be anywhere near this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think that's like totally, I mean, totally normal. I mean, even, you know, not that obviously social media is the same or anywhere near the scope of what reality is, but like I've had my own family say to me, I don't want to be on your stories when I've been like, you know, back when the world was, you know, open and normal, you know, and I would be with them and, you know, and it would be like, hey, you know, we're hanging out and they'd be like, you know, let me know if you're filming. Cause like, I want to be on them or like, I don't want to be shown. And like, at first, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, why, what's the problem? But then I kind of had to take a step back and be like, oh, because I have a lot of followers and a lot of opinions and, you know, just a lot of stuff that comes with my job. And I had to respect the fact that they weren't comfortable with me, like constantly filming their life just because like I was there visiting, you know? And so I think that in a small scheme is kind of like what you're saying to like Margaret's son. It's, I'm sure there's so much of that that doesn't actually get talked about.
Totally. Even like, I was just thinking like Erica Girardi, like she also has a son and he is in the LAPD. And I remember during like all of like the Black Lives Matter protests within like the LA area, she was posting like, this is one of the reasons like I don't post my son and I don't talk about my son because like he is out there in the streets, God forbid some loon attacks him because he knows that he's associated with me and that it would hurt me. Like it just adds these like additional pressures onto the people in your life. And Erica also has, I think this year she posted a photo of him for the first time ever. And I was like, one, he was like obviously very hot, but first things first. But, and then I was like, okay, wow. Like she's actually showing a little bit of another side of her, because when you don't have the opportunity to show your children on the show, people don't get to see, you know, that like motherly side of you. And I think Brandy Glanville really struggled with that in Beverly Hills as well, because Eddie wouldn't let her bring her kids on the show. And so she just always had like the party girl, fun girl energy because she obviously never had her kids around. But then in later seasons, or actually I think it was like last season when Kim and Kyle were like, we're best friends with Brandy. I'm like, okay, one, yeah, right. But at one point, like Kyle was like,
wait,
trying
you didn't believe
to
believe that.
Yeah, like, oh, Brandy's outside in the car. Should she maybe come in? It's like, come on, ladies. We couldn't have orchestrated something a little bit more organic 10 years into this show. But Kyle at one point was like, I just want to say, I think this is at like Teddy's baby shower. She's like, I just want to say, you know, after all these years, I just want to say, Brandy, you're a really good mom. You're a really good mom. And I'm really happy for you. And I felt like she had to say that because they really painted her out to be like a party girl kind of slut on the show. And so she was like, you know, I'm throwing you a bone by saying you're a nice, good mom.
Oh, yes, no, I think you're right. 100%. I think like it was like needed because of like how bad the image came across.
It's sad. So many women can't bring their kids on the show because of like ex-husband situations. Like even Bethany, she wasn't able to ever have Brynn on the show because of the gnarly lawsuits and custody battles with Jason. And again, like it's like, okay, Bethany, yeah, we like to see you in the office day after day after day, like going on the trips. But like, I want to see your home life. I want to see you you know, chilling out. Granted, like, she is all up on Instagram stories, so like, we could see it. We can always see it. But it's like, that's what we want to see. You're a real housewife. Like, you're supposed to, you don't have to be married, but, you know, we want to see home life and an accurate portrayal of your home life.
For sure. It's true. And I think a lot of them, you know, feel like they can't and can't really show up to be who they are. And like, let's be real too. I mean, it's got to be a little vulnerable also for them to come on, you know, not glam like they are on camera.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, if you notice, like, even, you know, during the beginning of the pandemic, like, for a while, a lot of them took a step back of even being on and kind of were trying to figure out their situations, because obviously all of us were trying to figure out if this was real. But once I think it like settled for everybody, but like for them, I noticed like a lot wouldn't be on, or they'd only get on if they were going to be like on a live, because then they were done up. Like, you know, it's intimidating, I'm sure, to show up when they see you a certain way on camera. It's just like, you know, people that go out and walking around and paparazzi taking pictures and they look like, you know, hot mess, and they're like, great, you know, thanks so much. But it's like, I think for some it's to be expected, obviously, when you're like a, you know, top, you know, actress and actor and that kind of thing. But I think for the reality world, in my opinion, there's some kind of like disconnect in a way too, where like they expect to always want to look that way, because that's like the brand, the role, the person. For example, Sheena shows you the real her on every other platform, because Bravo, in my opinion, doesn't really show who she is on the show. They've really much made her a character and the person that they wanted her to be. And she has been in that box for years. And she, even her, I think, you know, decided a while back, like, okay, they're never going to show what I want them to show of like my podcast and my entrepreneurship and this and all the things that I do, for whatever reason. They just don't. So like, I'm going to show it, and I'm going to start my blog, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I think some people do that. And then I think some people just stay in character, so to say, and just show up on their social just like they would on TV.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that for Sheena. I feel like she definitely got like pigeonholed into being like the crazy girl, boy crazy, which like, of course, yeah. Like, you know, most women are like, if you were filmed for, you know, 8 years of your life, you know, you'd probably have some boy crazy moments. She went through her freaking divorce. Like, she's gone through a lot. So I'm so happy now, like, she's able to have this outlet of Instagram and whatnot, and like all her vlogs. And I swear, like, I'm such a true loser. Like, when she was posting like, we're pregnant videos, I was like crying, like, at the gender reveal video. I'm like, what is wrong with me? But it's also one of those things, like, you watch these women struggle to have babies. She was going through the freezing of her eggs process, which is a lot more intensive than I think people think. They just think you go to the doctor and poof, you're done. It's like, yeah. No, she really had to like not drink and not go out and really keep herself healthy for months and months. And also, you saw like on the show, someone was like, why aren't you drinking? She's like, again, I'm freezing my eggs. I'm just
right.
Nobody listens to me. And now, you know, and then she had a miscarriage. And so it's good that, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel for her. But yeah, it is kind of nice that she's able to have her own narrative in this whole situation.
Yeah, I just think some of them, yeah, I agree with you. And I think some of them choose to do that. And then some of them choose to kind of just stay within this is who I am on the show. And, you know, that's what you're going to see when I come on my social and on my stories and my posts and whatever. And I, you know, I don't think it's wrong or right either way. It's just interesting to see kind of like who does what.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people like really are, I don't know. Like, I feel like we were talking about this on your show, how there's this, you know, expectation to like look a certain way on television. And so because of the pandemic, I think so many more people have just kind of like leaned into looking natural and just having their normal face. And we were of course talking about Kim Zolciak-Bierman on your show and how, you know, from her first season to whatever her last season was, like things have changed a lot. But, you know, her daughter also kind of became a mirror image of her in a kind of oddly weird way, where I'm like, if I'm not wearing my glasses, I'm like, who is who? This is, bizarre.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and I you know, I agree with you. And we did obviously talk about that on my show, of like how there's so much pressure and how the pandemic and everything kind of shook that up. And people are starting to kind of be like, okay, well, I don't have a glam team here, so I'm going to get it together and just like show up like, you know, a little bit more humanized or whatever you want to call it. And I kind of feel like, in a way, in my opinion, I have been so relieved to see that, because even for me being in the space, like I feel like it gives me the permission to be a little bit more raw with myself, which I was already kind of exploring from becoming a mom and just kind of saying, well, I can't get ready, so I don't give a shit, here I am. But now it's almost like been given this permission to like almost not give an extra shit.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the kind of like the cohesive feel. I think that's just like the universal feeling right now, because even like at work, like I'd wear heels to work, like go out after work, and now I'm like, okay, I'm in my casual gear all day. If I could put on like a collared top or like a blouse, then that's like me doing the most. But yeah, I think like everybody's just like, okay, we could all like take it down a notch. Maybe we're trying too hard. But I know this summer I'm just dying to wear espadrilles again and dresses and have places to go. Like that is the goal.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, and you absolutely should. But I think it's like you said, like it's just giving that permission and that realness to being like, okay, but if I don't show up like that every day, like it's not the worst thing in the world. Like maybe we all really have been kind of putting this external pressure on ourselves, more just like on our actual selves than anyone else, to like just show up that way. And it's like, but why? But because like the magazines and everyone tells us to. But again, like those people have private trainers 24/7 and they have someone there to be like, let's put this together, let's do this. I mean, hello, I get hired for those people, like, you know what I mean? It's like, if I could clone myself and have myself stand there and be like, okay, put this together, and, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, we got it. But like, meanwhile, my brain is going a million miles a minute, and I'm like, oh, okay, fuzzy slippers and my robe, okay, great.
Got it. Well, one person who I think kind of is embracing who they are and how they look is Caroline Manzo. Over the past few years, she's like cut her hair and is doing this little pixie cut, and she's going gray. And I appreciate that. It's like, just be yourself. Like, your husband loves you. You have nice kids. Like, you're a grandma. Like, you don't need to be going to the salon every minute and, you know, extending yourself to all of these things for what? For what? And so I like that about Caroline. And I love Caroline Manzo. Now I want her back on Jersey after watching this last week. I was like, get her back on. We need a voice of reason between all of these ladies.
Yeah, I agree. I like that she's embraced herself and she's kind of just said, you know what, this is me, take it or leave it. And I think, you know, at some point when all of us can kind of get to that in our own lives, no matter what it is you're going through. For me, I know it's been very freeing. Like when I became a mom and I finally like stopped trying to put on a face and a show and stopped trying to pretend everything was perfection when everything was literally a shit show of poop. I literally was like, okay, I'm just like, I'm over it. Like I'm done with it. Like I'm now going to just be me and be authentically myself. I think I've found so much more peace and beauty within myself than I ever have, actually probably in my life, to be honest. When I think back to like even high school, like I was always putting on a front. I was always having to like be, you know, look a certain way, hanging out with the popular girls. I was, you know, typical cheerleader, like all the things, you know, stereotype wise. And it was just like, I always felt like I had to show up. I always had to play a certain role. I always had to be a certain way, and I could never just like relax and let my hair down and just be me. And I think that like I got to college and I like let go of all that and like, you know, wild and free, woo, it's college, you know, like a lot of us do. And I was like very much all over the place because I was trying to find myself, quote unquote, which like, let's be real, most people don't find themselves. They just find themselves, you know, drinking or
knee deep in a keg stand or something.
Exactly. Or whatever. So that was me. And so then, you know, I think like fast forward, like way later to now, like being a mom, like I've had this realization of like, not just I want to show up authentically for myself, but I want to show up authentically for my girls. We because the fact that I'm raising two girls in this time is so important to make sure like they are independent, they are strong thinkers, they see that like I practice what I preach, I walk the walk, you know. And so I really like work on every day being intentional of how I come across, especially to my toddler, because she is so smart and she absorbs everything. Like Amelia literally, like today I was like in the mirror and I was talking to myself and I was just like looking at my body because I was just not liking like certain areas of my stomach. And I don't usually do that, but I was just like doing it. And she's looking at me and she's like, what are you saying? And I was like, oh, nothing. I'm just looking in the mirror. But she looked at me and she's like, oh, your body. And I'm like, shit. You know, but it's like, it's true. Like they absorb everything and they take everything on. So I think that's made me further step up as a woman and as a mom to make sure I really not only am intentional with myself, but I'm intentional with my girls and how they see me and genuinely and authentically, and so that they can see themselves that way and know they're beautiful as is, and that they don't have to put on a front or be a certain way. And I feel like that is a blessing in this time, to be honest.
I mean, most definitely. And especially like we live in a world that is just like so, you know, focused on how you look. And I guess it's how it, unfortunately, it's pretty much always been for women, but I feel like slowly but surely feel like we're kind of getting into a time where people are like valuing women's minds, not just their bodies and how they look. But you do kind of see like it kind of going both ways. Like, you know, Brielle Bierman, like she is like, you know, we saw her like as a little girl where she was like just a little girl. And then, you know, year after year after year, she like started to become a young woman, of course. And then she's getting like the big boobs and the big butt and the big lips. And then you see like her having the conversations with her mom where they're like, oh, well, you're going to go to college. And she's like, I'm not going to college. I'm just going to keep like doing this forever. And it's, you know, you don't want to judge people's choices. And of course, college isn't for everybody, but it's one of those like feelings where you're watching as a viewer, you're like, oh my gosh, no, like, please, like, this isn't forever. Like at a certain point, like there's going to be the next great thing like you.
That's right.
And it's probably gonna be your little sister, like, because like that's how these creepy dynasty families work. And I'll never forget, like, even like her mother would like overly sexualize her and make like comments about her daughter in a way where I'm like, oh my gosh, my mom would like never talk about me and my body like that, especially like on live television or to like, maybe she would say, I don't know, my mom's not talking about me like that to her friends, but like when she tweeted was like like at Chrissy Teigen, like, oh, like John Legend's coming to Atlanta. Like, who does my daughter need to blow to get some tickets?
And oh my
it's
God.
Like, oh my no. God. Like, you are creating a narrative around your daughter that is like this. And then all the ladies on the show are like, you know, after 7 months after that happens in real life, it's being filmed on the show. And Portia is just like, you know, Kim, like you and your whole daughter can get out of here. And I'm like, oh my God. Like at that point, it's like Kim brings her in. And is she fair game? And it was so funny, but it was one of those moments where it's like, oh my God, Portia just called her daughter a hoe because of a comment her mother made about her.
Right. I know. It's true though. But I agree with you. I mean, I think that's terrible. Like those narratives and those, like, even if it is jokingly, like it's not joking, especially when you're putting it out there, like for the world on social media to be seen, to be read, like all of a sudden you give permission to other people to say horrible things about your daughter, you know? And it's like, again, going back to what you were saying before, it's like, where do you draw the line? I feel like that's a lot of times where these kids don't want to be a part of the storylines.
Even like, I've always admired Gabriella, Teresa's daughter from Jersey Housewives, who like always has been like in the background, never wants to be a part of it. And I think I heard an email. Oh my God, my brain is fried. But I read somewhere that she was saying to like, she expressed to Teresa, like, mom, I don't like being on this show. This is not for me. This isn't my kind of, you know, I'm not comfortable being in front of the camera. And Teresa really appreciated that and accepted that and has never really exploited her on the television show. Whereas, like, you know, Tamra Judge from OC Housewives kind of is on like the different end of the spectrum where, you know, she had like a strained relationship with her children after her divorce. And then one of her daughters, she was like 10 kids. I can't remember her name, but I think it's Sydney, but she was like, mom, like the only way that we can keep, like, I think they had like forgiven one another, and Tamra was then invited to her daughter's graduation party. And the daughter was like, okay, mom, like you're here. I'm glad we're mending fences. Like, this is great. But like, please don't post anything on social media or talk about it on your show. Like, please just like keep this between our family. And she immediately posts it on social media. So it's like, Tamara, like, what do you prefer? The viewers and fans to know that you're rekindling your relationship with your daughter, or your relationship with your daughter? And it seems like the former.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really messed up. And I completely agree with you. It's like, which one are you? Do you actually care, or are you just pretending to care because of the show, but like really you don't care because it's all about the ratings?
Yeah. And I don't know. That always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I always really felt bad for her daughter. Well, I don't know. I feel bad for any kid who like is one like caught in between like a really nasty divorce, and especially like a really public one. But when your mom like blatantly just like doesn't listen to your demands, like very, very simple demands. It's not like, you know, hey mom, don't post this on Instagram. It's not like life or death. Like it's an Instagram post.
Yeah, agreed. I know, literally. And I mean, it's like, yeah, exactly. You're like, it's an Instagram post. Like that's it. Like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, just don't put the post. Like, what's the big deal? Yeah, I don't know. To me, like that was really ego, Tamara. But like, to be honest, I'm not a huge fan. I've met her before. I didn't get like the best vibe. So I'm probably not the best person to judge that conversation.
I mean, do tell. I'm like, give us something to work with. You can't tease a tab.
I mean, so I've dressed Vicky, and I've been around Tamara and them. And I mean, Vicky's a whole nother story, but that's another podcast.
I was going to say, I think we might need an hour for that.
Yeah, just about, if not more. With Tamara, like, it's just, I don't know, when I was around her, it was all about like, I mean, it's always all about her, but it was just all about her and her needs and like what was going to make her look good and like what was going to like fuel her, and don't worry about anyone else. So I think it's not surprising that like her daughter was like, please don't. And then she did it anyways. So it's like, it's all about her. It's like, I think it's always about Tamara. In my opinion, it's like, it's the Tamara show. It's always about her. It's always about her needs. It's always about what she expects. Like, you know, she doesn't care what other people think. It's like, she'll pretend they'll care, to care what they think, but at the end of the day, she doesn't care. That was the impression I got from being around her, just by how selfish she was, like at the events and the projects that I was at, the way she would act just to the people around her and everything. It was very much like, I'll be nice to you, but like, really it's about me. Whereas like, someone like, for example, Gretchen or Lisa, or even Kyle for that matter, when I was with them on set, it was like, yeah, it's still about them, but like, oh, if you need like a glass of water, or you need to grab something, like it's right there, you know, to the right of you if you were at their home, or we're on set and like we're gonna get a run of this, and they would like include you. Like, to me, that speaks volumes more than just like, oh, I'm going to be nice to you when I actually overly extend because I don't have to, because it's not required to. To me, that says something about them and their character.
Most definitely. Like, the amount of times I've been on set and the talent will come in, like they are contractually obligated to talk to me because I'm like, I'm the producer. If you do not talk to me, like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be pissed off. But I've seen people walk into the shoot, walk directly past 10 different people, gaffer, lighting, sound, photographer, everybody, won't look at anybody, will be like, where's my dressing room? I put her in the dressing room. And I obviously, like, there's like one person in particular I'm thinking, I'm like, I know you. I clocked you. And she wouldn't talk to anybody. And I remember like everybody on the set was so terrified because we all kind of felt this tension, because we're like, uh-oh, like we don't want to poke the bear. She's clearly irritable. We don't want to mess with her. She like wasn't even some fucking fabulous woman. She was like,
isn't that always amazing when it's someone always that's not the quote-unquote fabulous, yeah, not the one who, you know, maybe earned where they're at. I've dealt with that so many times, and I find that so obnoxious, because I'm like, so how are you going to act when you actually like take off in the world? Like, are you going to continue to treat people like shit, or is this just like the way you're doing it to like feel like you're important, so that once you are important, you knock it off? Like, I never understood that. I used to deal with that so much, especially at the beginning of my career in styling. And I remember just being like, wow, there's some people who literally overly extend, and they'll say hello when they don't have to. And they'll, you know, offer you something to eat, or at least have somewhat of a conversation with you. And then there's some people where it's like, oh, you're not even going to acknowledge. Like, okay, years ago when I interned for the Kardashians, back with like when Monica Rose was their stylist before they booted her ass.
She's where is she? Somewhere.
Yeah, I find that so wrong because she literally built them in their career. If you look at like season one when they were in like, you know, Fila and like Adidas, like hanging out at their table, and then like season two, season three, all of a sudden they're like wearing something from Beverly Hills. Like, come on now. And so like that personally, the stylist pissed me off. But anyways, when I was interning with Monica Rose and her team, like I'll never forget, like we were all bandaging Kim into a dress because like, let's be real, we all know her body isn't what her body is. And so we're all like getting her into this dress and like, okay, whatever. Every woman needs a little bit of help, myself included. So we won't shade her, but like we had to get her into this dress. So we're like taping and we're doing all the things in wardrobe and she's like typing on her phone and like texting and taking a selfie. And like, does she like acknowledge that we're like in her space, like taping her boobs and like in her body? No, it's like literally the phone. Meanwhile, like Courtney and Chloe actually like waved and said hey, and like when I was leaving like carrying bags to go return for the 100th time, like they actually were like thanks and like said two words. Now I mean, do they have to talk to me? No, they didn't. But to me it's like, I don't know, that spoke volumes versus like I'm literally helping tape boobs and grabbing in your space and like you're not even like looking at me, let alone like acknowledging me. So that's just something that I've experienced with a lot of different people. So I understand what you're saying as far as just like the ignoring and all that, especially when it's someone that like really doesn't like deserve to ignore you. Not that anyone does, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, you have such an ego. So I don't know, that really personally, that was one of the things that drove me insane with styling for years, was experiencing, unfortunately, so many more people like that than the nice people. Like people will be like, oh, you know, how are your clients? And I'm like, I could probably give you one that I like today. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I get it. Like, you're quote unquote important and you have this and you have that. But at the end of the day, it's like, does it kill you to be nice? Does it kill you to even just be a little bit respectful? Like, I don't know. That really like still to this day annoys me that like people act like that, because I'm like, at the end of the day, like especially like someone like you, like you're the producer, like you're there to try to make their job easier, you're there to try to like make shit flow, and it's like you're not helping anything, you're just making everything a shit show.
I'm doing you a favor by making you look good. You can't look me in the eye. You have no time for me. Like, this is your job. It means like you interact with me. We're technically coworkers for the day. I just hate that like elitist mindset. I just hate that. And I think it really shows, because you know what? Like, I've worked with so many people who we were so excited. Oh my God, she's amazing. Then you start talking to her agent. He's a horrible person. And then you're like, oh God, when she shows up, she's going to be even worse. And they always are worse. Well, just to end the show a little bit, I need to ask you some style, you know, questions from the Bravo Celebrity world. Do you have any housewives whose style you admire or really dislike? Either or.
Really dislike. I mean, I feel like there's so many of them that I can't stand. I mean, there's so many where I'm like, what are you wearing? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I don't know if you watched Real Housewives of Potomac, but, you know, Gisele Bryant, like this past season, like she just got ripped apart because her fashions are just so bad, which is crazy because she's the most beautiful woman. And it's like, you know, from neck down, you're like, honey, what?
Like, yeah, I was going to say that's a really good example because I feel like she's so stunning. And she always like overdoes it to the point where it's like, what are you doing? Like, okay, I remember I did see one time on something on social media, I saw she was wearing this like super hot pink fuchsia dress. And I was like, okay, I'm not mad about it. Like, it's a bright color. I always say a pop of color. I thought it made her skin look great. Like, she looked glowy. And like, they even did the eye makeup with like the magenta to kind of like pop, make it match. But then it was like, then she had this huge like diamond like choker collar and had all this extra jewels. And look, I love a good jewel. So like, I'm not going to trash you. But when you do that, people don't understand, like, especially on camera, it's so interesting to me that people don't like actually see this when they're like on camera all the time. Whatever you do when you get dressed, like you're creating lines or space in what you're wearing. So if you're wearing something that's out of like a deep V-neck, like this magenta dress, and then you wear this like thick choker, you've literally created this entire line in the middle of what you were trying to show with like your pretty cleavage and like, hey, look at my beautiful neckline, and you just took away from it because you added this huge choker, and now it just looks like this big bejeweled thing is choking you. Oh, and by the way, here's my like, it's just like, I just I don't know, that kind of shit. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you not understand that like everything in clothing is like creates lines and space and lines and space? I guess not. That's probably why I have a job. But
yeah,
I just like that. I was like, no. She wore some also like crazy yellow dress. I remember that was like lace, and then it was like one shoulder, but then it wasn't.
Oh yeah, I think that was her reunion dress, which is crazy because every single one of those women on that cast is so beautiful, like more beautiful than the next. And every one of their bright yellow dresses were so just poorly designed. It's like, you guys, please get a proper stylist.
Yeah,
who
really
cares about how you look?
Exactly. And also too, like, I don't know, they all were like going with this like one shoulder like yellow number, and like the idea was great, but it just did not show up that way, because it was like it went off one shoulder, but then they still have like a piece going across the other part of their neck, and it's like a one shoulder supposed to actually accentuate the one shoulders. I just like did not get it at all. I was like, what are we doing? And then another thing I saw her, I forget what like event she was at, or she was at a red carpet, but I remember seeing it and being like, no, she had like this long vest on, and it was like blue tweed-ish, I think. Oh. And it was just like, it looked like it overtook her. Like to me, it could have been done right had she actually like cinched it in the right places to give herself a waistline. Had she actually done the right shoes, like it could have actually been really chic. But instead, to me, it was just like a reason to push your cleavage up and just like have this vest hang off you, except for where it was in your boobs. And it just did not flatter. And I was like, no, like, I don't know, Giselle, she is stunning, but she just does like the most out there ruffles and weird necklines. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, you just have like bubbles on you. You have frills on you. Like, what is it? So yeah, I definitely would say she has definitely been someone that I'm like, no, 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 no. Like, please, you're too pretty to be messing up your fashion so poorly. Like, I just don't understand. So I don't know. Maybe I'll give her the benefit of doubt and say she doesn't have a stylist. But
I feel like after this year, she got ripped apart at the reunion. So I'm really hoping she comes back really strong next year.
Yes, that's your hope, right?
We should just give her, you should just slide into her DMs and be like, I can help you. We could do a remote situation because you need help. Maybe even give her a discount because at this rate, like, she needs all the help she can get.
Like, so you're having this conversation, you need to go check out Bravo's Happy Hour.
Yeah.
After you hear how I destroyed your outfit, you want to hire me to style you.
Okay. Right. And then I guess one other person who's quite polarizing would be Dorit Kemsley from Beverly Hills. I love her style. I find her to be just like, I mean, I wouldn't say effortlessly chic because there is so much effort put into it, but I always feel like she is, you know, on top of all of the trends, even if they're not trends that like I would necessarily go into. Like, I never did like the big chunky hair clips, but even after she came to that reunion with 600 bedazzled crystals clips in her hair, that became a real trend in every magazine and every website. And so I always have kind of felt like, yes, she's a little bit laughable in her choices, but she is kind of on the pulse of fashion.
Okay, here's how I would break down Dorit. So first off, I think she's very pretty, you know, overall as a woman. So I think she gets away with a lot. Two, I think because of like her bone structure and like the way her body is shaped, she can pretty much, from what I've seen her wear, she can pretty much pull anything off, even if it does look horrible. Like, perfect example, I remember when she was on Watch What Happens Live. I'm trying to remember exactly what this piece looks like. I'm trying to find it on my phone right now. It was a black and white, like tuxedo-like-ish dress. And I thought it was horrible. Like, I remember being like, oh my God, that was a capital H, like horrible. And it was like, literally, like, I'll have to find and send it to you. I remember people and all these people wrote about it, and it had like this just like super triangular top that was like supposed to be tuxedo like.
Oh yeah, that was on Watch What Happens Live. Oh my
yes,
God, yeah.
Right?
I think it's Balmain.
Yeah, Balmain, yeah. Well, I was not happy with that designer either. And it was like black sequin, and it was like, okay, but here's where she gets away with it. She's sexy as fuck. She's got good boobs. She's got a tiny little waist, you know, she's usually super tan. She had really pretty, like, simple earrings, I remember, with that, like, cute shoes. And the way she rocked it, she made it work, even though it really was horrible. And I think if you had put it on someone else, it would have been like, oh my God, no. Like, you know, like, you really can't wear that. And not that she could wear that and get away with it, but I think that's why she does. Like, that's a really good example of something that just, like, really doesn't work, but she makes it work. And I think that's how a lot of times you see things become trends. Like, they really don't work, but like you make them work, you know? And so it's like, I just think that that's a really good example. Or like, I remember when she wore this like two-piece like netted outfit. I think the Sun did a report on it or something, and it was like orange and it was like netted and see-through, and she wore a bathing suit under it, but it was, and it was to show off her bikini body, which like I get it, like as a mom, like you feel good in your body, you want to show it off, and she did look good, but it was just like the way the style was and the way she did it, it was just like, no, it doesn't work. But it did kind of work, and I remember like that netting and look got picked up for summer by like a lot of magazines, and a lot of different women were wearing it. So I feel like she kind of sets trends in a weird way, even though maybe those trends don't work for the masses because of like how she wears things. There's just certain people out there, I've even styled them myself, where you literally could put a paper bag on them, and even though they really don't look good, they really do look good, if that makes any sense.
I hate those people. Yeah. Allie, on that note, thank you so much for coming onto the show. Where can people find you, follow you, and listen to your amazing podcast?
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. And you can find me at Everything with Allie Levine. That's my podcast, Everything with Allie Levine. Wherever you listen to this podcast, you'll find my podcast. And Megan will be on my show. So I'm super excited for you guys to hear that awesome episode. We really got into it. It was so much fun. And my social is Allie Levine Design, A-L-I-L-E-V-I-N-E Design. And my website, AllieLevine.com. And I have pretty much like all my links on my website and everything. So you can check it out there. And if you do want to be styled by me, even, you know, remotely, Zoom, FaceTime, I do all the things now. Feel free to reach out and let me know. And if you tell me you came from the show, I'll give you a friendly, fashionable discount.
I love to hear it, you guys. So go hit up Allie. And also I might hit you up because my brother's getting married in Tahoe this summer. And it's like a 5-day 10 event wedding, and like every single day I just sit on the Saks website and I'm like, what dress is gonna, I'm like, I've never been to Tahoe, I don't know the Tahoe vibe, so I might hit you up to pick your brain on some good outfit ideas.
That would be fun. Ooh, how fun. Okay, I'm in.
Alrighty, well, sound good. Have a good night, Allie. And I heard your little girl crying. I was like, let's wrap this up, she needs to tend to her real business.
Yeah, mom life. Well, thank you.
Alrighty, we'll chat soon. Bye.
Thanks so much for catching up with me, Megan O'Donnell, on this episode of Bravo Happy Hour. Until next time, be sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on all social media platforms, and feel free to shoot me an email, bravohappyhourpod@gmail.com, with any hot, juicy gossip or just to say what's up. Stay tuned on Tuesdays and Fridays for more episodes of Bravo Happy Hour. And if you're loving the show, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give me some love in the form of a 5-star review. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.